Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And we have a great prescription for you today. We're talking about prioritizing your mental health. We are really focusing on mental health on this Mental Health Monday. I told you at the beginning of the year that I was going to have some Mondays occasionally throughout the year where we talk specifically about mental health. And today is that Monday. It is Inauguration Day and a good time to look back after what has been a year. I mean, you know, we think about 2020 when the word of the year was unprecedented, and then we move forward and we thought, well, maybe 2021 would be a little calmer, or 2022 or 2023 and 2024 just seemed like it went over and above what we had been through. If you look back at the news headlines that just accompanied the presidential election, we have been through it. And if you remember last year, the country was feeling anxious, on edge, and everywhere I went, myself included, we were just feeling a general sense of unease. But today, as I'm coming to you live today here on this Monday afternoon, we have had a peaceful transition of power. And that is something that we can all pause to celebrate and just to give thanks for. And in moments like these, it is important to take a deep breath and remember the value of tending to our own mental well-being. As that transition of power occurred, you feel a collective, you know, letting go of breath across the nation. But it's a good time, I think, to look back and think, okay, when we were feeling really anxious, what can we learn from this? How? Because we live in a world that is not going to slow down. We live in a world that is going at the speed of a smartphone. We live in a world where we have social media that is going to deliver all of the world's bad news to us instantly, and sometimes even live. We watch things happen live. These are the realities of the world that we're living in. But God's word tells us that in this world, we will have trouble. We are not promised a trouble-free life. We live in a broken world, and we're living in a world where we're seeing, among especially young people, just crisis levels of anxiety, of depression, of youth suicide, of self-harming, of substance abuse, of all this evidence of unhealthy coping mechanisms for mental health issues. So for today's Mental Health Monday, I want to focus on a preventive, holistic approach to mental health, because just like our physical health, caring for our minds and our hearts requires intentionality and it requires regular attention. So I want to challenge you today to think about your own mental health, to think about the mental health status of your family, and let's take a good, honest look at how much effort we're putting into that and what we can do to make things better. I'm going to give you some information that, you know, really a lot of these things are remarkably simple, but they are somehow difficult to do. Now, as we come through the new year and we talk about January, everywhere you go, if you go into a sporting goods store or, you know, really any department store, you see all of these advertisements for treadmills on sale, exercise equipment, diets, all of those things. And those really, we're focused on our physical health, but we have to take just as much intentional care of our mental health. So whether that is developing healthy coping mechanisms like just nurturing your relationships or strengthening your faith, there are a lot of ways to stay centered. And I'm going to talk about some headlines related to nutrition and sleep and activity in particular. And we'll talk about how those apply to us as we're looking at the news that's coming in this start of 2025. But let's start this week with hope and practical tools to build a healthier mindset for both ourselves and our families. That is really important. Now, as I'm talking to you, I do have to celebrate my own profession as a nurse practitioner. The American Association of Nurse Practitioners issued a press release celebrating that the nurse practitioner profession was actually ranked as the number one job in America for 2025 by U.S. News and World Report. Can you believe that? And it actually ranked number one in three categories: best job all around, best healthcare job, and best STEM job, science, technology, engineering, and math. So I love my job as a nurse practitioner, and I wanted to tell you one of the reasons I love it is because nurse practitioners really embrace a holistic health model. And we do this in three ways. We do it in a lot of ways, but just three ways that I'll share with you today. First of all, we learn how to address the whole person. We assess physical, emotional, social, and spiritual aspects of health. We know that we are mind, body, soul, and spirit, and we see very clearly how those elements interact and influence overall well-being. So that's really important. It's not just about your diet. It's not just about your physical body. It's not just about your emotions. All of those things are interactive. The second way is we have a collaborative care model. We believe in working with patients and families as the experts in their own lives, but also bringing in that medical expertise, but really incorporating patient preference with our expertise to develop a very personalized care plan that respects individual values and preference. And that is a really fun way to partner with families. We also, the third way is emphasizing really the heartbeat of a nurse practitioner is emphasizing preventive health. We focus on education, lifestyle modifications, and early interventions to promote long-term health and prevent disease. So why am I telling you all of that? Well, first of all, congratulations out there to any nurse practitioners who might be listening who love their job. And the second is to tell you that, yes, I am an NP, but the information I'm giving you today is just educational and informational. It's not intended as specific medical advice. I've talked about how important it is for you to have a healthcare provider, a primary care provider who you like and literally trust with your life. It is so important to have that person that you can go to for personalized guidance and treatment, whoever that may be. So, but as we start this week together, again, talking about mental health prevention, there is so much focus on how do we treat anxiety? How do we treat depression? Should you see a counselor? Should you take medication? And we talk about a lot about that on the show. Those conversations are important. But what if we spend some time today talking about how to build a life that might prevent some of those struggles in the first place? I want to really flex that preventive lens that I have in looking at health issues. And we are doing that right here on this show through the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with 52 Habits for Healthy Families. Every week, we are introducing a healthy habit that you can incorporate into your lifestyle. These are really evidence-based practices that help to promote mental health. Now, not every mental health problem can be prevented. That's important to say. There are some real biological diagnoses that, you know, are a complex interaction of genes and environment and all of that. But I'm talking about generally, there is a lot that we can all do to have a healthier lifestyle that's going to help us have better mental health. When things like very contentious presidential cycles with unbelievable news headlines come, or whatever may come our way. So we've started that again this year in 2025. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about memorizing scripture. And last week I talked about going to church. Every Friday on Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, I'll spend the first segment answering questions about those habits. You can also go to the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes, and you can find those on any podcast platforms or AFR.net or AFR's app, and you can catch up. All of these things that I'm telling you are going to be things that will help, are designed to improve your overall health. It's just general health guidance and information and advice. And this week we'll be talking on Friday about playing music, using music intentionally as it relates to your overall health. But speaking specifically about mental health, it is more important, I think, now than ever, because across the country, more and more people, especially young people and children, they are facing anxiety, depression. The past few years have made that even harder. COVID was a significant generation impacting social and emotional injury on young people. When we look back at past generations and we see the greatest generation knowing where they are, where they were on V-Day, we see the boomers knowing where they were when JFK was shot. We see Generation X knowing where they were when the Challenger exploded. We see millennials knowing where they were on 9/11. Generation Z is going to know where they were when the world shut down, when everything that their parents and trusted adults had told them how things were going to go, nothing went that way, and the world was completely turned on its head. Kids were stressed, isolated, completely uncertain. But here's the good news. By recognizing that that happened, talking about it openly, and seeking support, we can make a difference. Now, when we talk about the very real phenomenons that we're seeing, very real cases of anxiety and depression, I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about normal human emotions. And it's important for us not to over-medicalize every normal human emotion. Every human will experience some moments of anxiety in their life. Every human will experience some moments of sadness. Every human will experience anger. Every human will experience stress. These are natural responses to life experiences. And sometimes they can signal an underlying health concern. It's not always indicative of a medical problem that needs treatment. And I've talked a lot. You can listen to some of my past shows about that, recognizing the difference. But we need to recognize that we need to be more proactive in developing healthy coping mechanisms to promote our mental health. Because if we over-medicalize it, that's what I see kids asking a lot. Like, if I have one moment of anxiety, does this mean I have an anxiety diagnosis? And that really can prevent people from learning how to cope and having some resilience and navigating the challenges that they will experience, navigating those in a healthy way. We need to make sure that we're balancing recognition of real mental health concerns with how holding people accountable. Oh, this is so hard because I am holding myself accountable and I fail a lot. But for our own self-care practices, recognizing the value of maintaining emotional well-being. So those, the three primary things that will impact your mental health that are within your control are your nutrition, your sleep, and your physical activity. So let's talk about that. And if you need professional support, that is crucial when needed. I've talked about that before, but it's also important to foster emotional resilience and understand that we have to be disciplined in taking care of ourselves. So we often think of nutrition and sleep and physical activity as just separate pieces of the puzzle when it comes to our health, but they are in fact deeply interconnected, not just for our bodies, but for our minds. The way that we fuel our bodies, the way that we rest, the way that we move, it plays a very crucial role in how we feel emotionally, how we cope with stress, and how we approach life's challenges. So I see this in, you know, my kids who are now older teenagers and young adults. You know, they may call me and say, hey, I'm feeling, you know, I feel anxious and stressed today. And we start asking a series of questions. And there are 10 questions you can ask yourself to think, okay, why am I feeling bad mentally? Am I getting enough quality sleep each night to feel rested and refreshed? Do I consume a balanced, nutritious diet that fuels my body and supports my mental health? Am I engaging in physical activity regularly? Am I staying hydrated by drinking enough water? Am I getting enough natural sunlight exposure, especially in the morning, to boost my mood and regulate my sleep cycle? Am I engaging in healthy, supportive relationships that have emotional connection and encouragement? Am I making time to have relaxing downtime, self-care that allow me to unwind and recharge? Am I setting boundaries with technology? Am I regularly engaging in prayer or gratitude or reading God's word? And am I practicing that gratitude or positive thinking to help shift my mindset? And then when you think, no, I'm not doing any of these, I'm sleeping terribly, I'm eating junk, I'm not walking, I'm not active at all, I'm not in the sun, I'm locked in a room with a computer all day, then you wonder why you're feeling anxious and stressed and depressed. It is not rocket science, but we will unpack some of these things. I'll be talking about red dye ban that came up this week when we come back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back, friends. That's Praise You in the Storm by Casting Crowns. And whether you feel like you're in a personal storm, whether you're in one of these winter storms that is going across the nation, or you're coming out of a storm and you see blue skies ahead, we are here to walk alongside you. And today we're prescribing hope for healthy families, as always. And today we're talking about prioritizing your mental health. Now, it's easy for us to talk about and think about prioritizing our physical health, but actually some of these measures of physical health are related to our mental health. And so often when I see families who have a struggle in their family, someone in their family is struggling with mental health, you automatically, your mind just goes way far down the road and you start worrying about medications or counselors or those kinds of things. And we really are just going to start at the beginning on this, what I'm calling a mental health Monday, doing a good, hard, honest look at your family and thinking, what are you doing intentionally to decrease your kids' risk of anxiety and depression, to create an environment in your home where you are creating a safe space in an unsafe world? When people walk through the door, they can drop those burdens that they carry, and you can together adopt some healthy coping mechanisms that will help you and count to respond to the stress that is absolutely going to come your way living in a broken world like we do. So before the break, I was talking about asking some questions, just honest questions of yourself. If you're feeling anxious, just looking and seeing what are those holistic supports that you could do to look at what is impacting your mental health. Now, one of the headlines that has something to do with this week is, I'm sure most of you have heard about it, it is the big news that red dye number 3 was banned this week. The FDA announced a ban of food dye red number 3. And they basically said it's because of a law that says a food additive may not be authorized if it's been found to cause cancer. And I'm reading to you from the news reports here on this. Research shows that red number 3 can cause cancer in laboratory rats when they are exposed to high levels. So this is not going to take an effect for a few years, actually. They still have a couple of years to eliminate petroleum-based red number 3 from their products. But there are other synthetic food dyes in all sorts of different colors that remain on the market. And there is some evidence that suggests that synthetic dyes can impact kids' behavior and their mental health. So let's go through some questions here that parents might have. How do you know if red number three is in the food? Well, there are plenty of lists online that you can go and see. But the bottom line is, if that food is very bright cherry red, that's your first clue that it probably contains some sort of dye in it. And as a red number three is phased out, one of the things a lot of people who are experts in this space say is that probably what's going to happen is it'll be substituted with another red dye that is on there. And again, you know, it is red dye number three is in a lot of foods, but not as many foods as other dyes are in. But there's an environmental working group that's compiled a list of about 3,000 consumer products they've listed that have red number three. Now, this is everything from fruit cocktails, flavored milk, cake mixes, candy, all kinds of things. And so that's something to look at. Like I said, the food manufacturers do have until January 2027 to eliminate red dye number three from their products. And there are restrictions in other parts of the globe that they've already done this. I know when I was in Europe not too long ago, food looks different. Like even ketchup, it looks almost brown. Like it doesn't look that bright red. And so there is definitely conversation going on in this space and looking at what are some alternatives. Are there natural food colorings from compounds in plants that could be more healthy? And looking at companies that have taken synthetic food dyes out of their food, like Kraft Foods, for example, took synthetic food dyes out of the macaroni and cheese and replaced it with colors from spices like paprika and turmeric. So red dye number three can be used also in medicines. So those drug makers will have until January 2028 to eliminate those. And again, we've got a lot of conversation going on, a lot of research that just says, is this impacting mental health? Does it impact child behavior? And there is some evidence to say that, yes, it could. And so what do we do about this? Well, I think that we shouldn't panic and go to our pantries and start reading every single label and, you know, just having that fear-based response like, oh my goodness, this is here. We've got to get rid of this. But it is a great time to take stock of your pantry, using whatever resources that you need to look at that and think about the levels of processed food that we are eating, the levels of chemicals that we are putting in. And there's a lot of science and controversy around this about hyperpalatability, like trying to look at the neuroscience of creating those sensations of chemical explosions in your brain that are pleasurable to say like, oh, I like eating that. I want to eat more because then you buy more. I mean, there is, and again, I know some of you are saying, oh yes, I've been talking about this. I know about this. And some of you are saying, oh, I don't want to hear this because I really like my potato chips. But it is a good time to look at the food that you're eating in your house and think, okay, what are we doing? Now, the CDC also not too long ago just put out a report on youth risk dietary reports. They do some research to say, okay, what are kids eating? And this will be surprising to no one that over the past decade, fewer teens are eating healthy foods. They're just not eating as many fruits, vegetables, and breakfast every day. Breakfast is a really big thing. And that has to do with a lot of different factors, even including just they don't like the taste, but also just not having access to those and maybe in the school cafeteria or maybe being able to afford foods that are healthy. And this report and this latest research showed that only about 1 in 5 girls ate breakfast every day in 2023, only about 1 in 5. And I know it's cliche. People say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but kids are not eating breakfast. And so how do we expect them to go and perform in an academic world, whether they're homeschooled or going to school somewhere, without fueling their brains? And that is really important. So that is something to think about, is do you have things set up in your home where your kids can eat breakfast? Now, I understand not all families will have time to make breakfast. I certainly am not standing over the stove like making a healthy breakfast, but I make sure that my kids have access to options that they can eat, whether that's on the go or there, whether it's fruits or vegetables or yogurt or whatever it is, they need to eat something. So think about, are you eating breakfast? Are your kids eating breakfast? What do you need for a healthy breakfast? The other thing that's concerning but not surprising in the report is that just over half of all students ate fruits and vegetables every day. So that's another simple thing that you can think about. Are we eating fruits and vegetables every day? And there was a little bit more in fruit consumption. People ate a little more fruit, but overall, teens are eating much less healthy food than they were before the pandemic. And this is a trend that's continuing to worsen. But a balanced diet is just essential for physical health and academic success. So this decline in healthy eating among teenagers especially is worrying. I've talked about a lot of the trends that are on TikTok, which I'm going to talk about TikTok here in a little bit. But those TikTok trends that talk about a girl dinner, which is basically just eating little tiny scraps of mouse food, basically, you know, just little scraps from your refrigerator, which can be a creative way to use leftovers, and it can also glorify and emphasize under eating of calories. And so we need to think about the influence when we as parents are at home, if we're not being intentional in this space and trying to model what healthy eating looks like. And I'm not saying that you have to be the beacon of health, that you have to eat everything perfectly. But what is one change that you could make this month? What is one small change that you could make? And then once you have that change down, make another change. So I'll give you, this is going to be really practical nuts and bolts, but I'll give you just something practical about something as simple as peanut butter and jelly. Didn't used to really think about that much, but started looking at what kind of bread do we eat? Can we eat bread with whole ingredients that's not as processed? Can we eat peanut butter that is actually like real peanut, just peanuts, that is peanut butter, and jelly that is spreadable fruit instead of, you know, those foods with all the chemicals in them. Well, once you start to change your palate like that, it really changes your taste buds. And then you start to prefer that. So what's one simple thing that you could do, whether that's drinking more water, whether that's offering a vegetable with every meal? What are simple ways that you could model to your kids? Because when we're not fueling their brains with healthy nutrients, then that does impact their mental health. When they eat a lot of sugar and then they have a crash, that is concerning. The other thing, the counterpart to that with healthy eating, which again, we could go on with forever, but my point here today is just think in 2025, what is your honest assessment of your family's nutrition status and what do you need to do to get that to a better place to help with your mental health? The report also notes in this, in the CDC report, that physical activity is very low, and that is not surprising. And especially for female students, only about 20% of females are getting the recommended 60 minutes of activity each day. Activity is really important for our mental health, and it's all tied together. So if you're sitting on your screen all day long, then your brain gets tired, but your body doesn't get tired. And speaking in very simple terms, this throws off your circadian rhythm. So you're tired and you want to go to bed, but you're not sleepy. And so then you're laying awake. So what do you do when you're laying awake? You get out your phone and you start scrolling, and then you see blue light that inhibits melatonin production in your brain. And then you wonder why you are tired and you're depressed and you don't feel like getting up. See, all of these things are so simple, but they are not easy. So think about this. First, breakfast. When you're thinking about nutrition, breakfast is especially important for boosting metabolism, helping students concentrate at school. So what is your family doing for breakfast? Thinking about red dyes and additives, look at your pantry and see how many products do you have with chemicals that could be replaced with fruits or vegetables. What do you need to do in your pantry just to move a little bit more in a healthier way? And then what can you do for activity? This report, the last thing it talked about was that was good was that actually teens are drinking less soda and more teens are drinking water. I cannot verify this scientifically, but I am going to go out on a limb and thank Gen Alpha for this and their obsession with the Stanley tumbler that they walk around with all the time and staying hydrated, because water is really good. It's essential to be hydrated for your mental health. You need to be well hydrated, well nourished, and you need to be well rested. So thinking about all of those things. When we're also thinking about just the connection between all of these, I did want to point out, I've talked about this a little bit, but as a preview for tomorrow, that the Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, he released recommendations just recently to raise awareness about the cancer risk associated with alcohol. Now, most of the time when we think about alcohol risk, we think about the risks of driving while intoxicated. You might even think of liver damage or what it might do to your skin or other organs, but there is not a lot of awareness about alcohol and cancer risk. And this just shows that what we eat is important to our overall health. So Dr. Murthy recommended updating health warning labels on alcohol and just reassessing drinking guidelines to say, are the guidelines that are out there, are they really healthy? Now, alcohol is actually ranked as the third leading preventable cause of cancer in the United States. It's linked to at least 7 types of cancer, and that includes breast, colorectal, and liver cancers, with over 100,000 cases and 20,000 deaths annually. And so the advisory is urging increased education. And tomorrow on the show, I'll be talking with my sister about Dry January, and we'll dive much more into the holistic health impacts of alcohol, because this is something that definitely we need to look at. But again, just looking at the things that we put into our bodies, they have an impact on our minds. So that's really important to look at. When we come back, as this break is coming up, I'm going to talk about the shutdown of TikTok, because this is another thing that is obviously deeply impacting the mental health of everyone everywhere. TikTok was shut down for about 13, what I would call glorious, glorious hours. It is now back, but there is a lot of conversation around TikTok, and we can talk about the security concerns about that. Basically, it was shut down because a new law sought to ban the app because of national security concerns about its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. And we saw, you know, it was really interesting to see kids just saying no when TikTok was shut down, but it is now back. And there are a lot of college campuses that actually they block Wi-Fi access to it because of security concerns. But really, it speaks to the greater narrative of us just sitting on our phones all day, every day, keeping our bodies still, not having activity, and just trying to replace real relationship connections in our life with counterfeit online ones that are just never going to be as good. So we'll talk about some more things that you can do to promote your family's mental health through nutrition, sleep, and exercise. And I'll talk about this TikTok ban when we come back. See you on the other side of this break.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
When you hear this, This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give him praise, give him praise, and the highest praise. Give him praise, and the highest. He is worthy. Yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
Welcome back, friends. That's Praise You Anywhere by Brandon Lake, and we will praise God anywhere. We're praising God today on this Inauguration Day, celebrating a peaceful transfer of power. And wherever you are, we pray that God is meeting you where you are in that need, in that moment. We also would love to invite you to contribute to Preborn's campaign. We are finishing up that campaign we did last week where we are donating ultrasounds, free ultrasounds for women. And you, $28 covers one ultrasound and gives a woman the opportunity to choose life for her baby. We had a goal of 4,500 ultrasounds. We're very close to that. So if you've been meaning to call in but haven't, now is your chance. You can call in at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or just go online to AFR.net, and we would love to help have you help us meet that goal. Today is Mental Health Monday, and I am talking to you about some holistic health considerations for taking a good, honest look at your family and thinking, what are little lifestyle modifications that we could make to improve the mental health status and to prevent problems from arising before they do? We talked a little bit about nutrition and red dye number 3 being banned from the United States. That's going to take effect over in the next couple of years. But basically, the takeaway from that is take a good, honest look at your family's nutrition and think, what do we need to do better? Now, don't think you have to fix it all at once. Just find something and start small. And a great way to start would be breakfast, thinking about what you and your family have for breakfast. Are you eating breakfast at all? And are you eating a good breakfast? There are lots of resources, and we invite you to continue to listen in, because as we introduce weekly habits, a lot of them have to do with nutrition. So we will be talking about that and talking about some ways that you can start. And we've had some other great guests on who've talked about that. But that's the takeaway. When we're talking also about nutrition, physical activity, and sleep. Physical activity and sleep are actually deeply impacted by the advent of social media, by this onslaught of social media, because we have kids sitting for extended periods of time. And the whole world was talking about the TikTok ban that took place for about 12 glorious hours. They were glorious to me. And now President-elect Donald Trump has intervened. He did announce plans to issue an executive order that would delay the enforcement and allow time to find a solution. But basically, there are security concerns about this. I won't talk too much about that today, but I will talk about the cultural impact of TikTok, other social media apps, and just gaming in general. When we have kids who are sitting for a long time, one study found that people who sit all day for a job had a 34% higher risk for death from cardiovascular diseases when compared to people with an active job. Now, as we translate this to kids and we see kids sitting all day, we're seeing kids start to develop cardiac disease that usually doesn't happen until later on in life, which is a reality and something that we're seeing. But the good news is that research also found small 15-minute breaks of daily physical activity are protective. So when you're thinking about just holistically about your family's nutrition and where to start, think holistically about your physical activity. What are you doing together? Now, you do not have to join a gym. You don't have to run 3 times a week. You don't have to join a cycling class. You just need to get up and walk. You need to park further in the parking lot. You need to take the stairs when you have the option for the escalator or the stairs. It's all in those little choices. But again, the research that shows that those small 15-minute breaks make a difference, That's really important. So if your kids are having trouble with their managing their emotions, think about how much activity are we having. It is our responsibility as parents to adopt that healthy lifestyle so we can do our best. Now, we're not all going to be perfect, but what can we do to do our best? Now, if you wonder how much kids are really sitting to game, let me just give you some brief stats on the gaming chair market. It is currently about $1.5 billion industry, and it's expected to grow well beyond $2 billion a year by 2029. Look no further than any tech website or social media forum for an in-depth comparison of budget, ergonomics, tech features. And Time Magazine says the average budget-friendly chair is about $250. Okay, I don't know about y'all, but my jaw was on the floor. $250 with extra affordable options at around $150 and above average around $300. You don't spend that much on a chair that you're not going to sit in a lot for sure. And so that's just something to think about. This tech-saturated world is not good for our heart health. So what can you do to help our kids and ourselves get up and get moving? Whether that's taking a walk at night after dinner or setting a timer at your desk to get up and at least stretch and stand up every hour, taking the stairs, parking further away, all of those things. But beyond that, even beyond the physical impacts, TikTok and other social media, they have significantly shaped youth culture. And of course, there are some positive aspects, creativity, connection. There are a lot of harms too. So let me go through some of these. And I've covered a lot of these on the show already. Number one is unrealistic beauty standards. A lot of those trends on TikTok focus on body image. They have filters. They talk about things like looks maxing. We are talking about young boys doing jaw exercises or even considering surgical procedures to MEW, and make their jaw look stronger. Because what's happening is all of the money that's being made on these cosmetic products, those companies see an untapped market in boys. Hey, we can market facial moisturizer to boys just as much as we can to girls. And young people may feel pressured to conform to those standards. That can cause low self-esteem or body dysmorphia or other unhealthy behaviors like extreme dieting or over-exercising. So to counteract that, those unrealistic beauty standards, they negatively impact mental health. So have open conversations about body positivity, emphasizing that social media only shows the perfect, filtered side of things. And the best way we can do that is not to criticize our own selves by being in pictures, by not saying, oh no, I've talked about this before. My daughter handing me my phone after taking a picture and saying, oh, you won't like the way you look in that picture. Oh, I don't want my daughter to think that. My daughter looks like me. I don't want her to have those messages. And so that's really important. It also, of course, is negatively impacting mental health. The research is becoming more clear. When there's constant comparison to peers and influencers and celebrities, that can just make you feel like you're inadequate. It can make you feel anxious. It can make you feel depressed. And one of the concerns I have is these kids who get on to social media and they present themselves as experts and tell kids, do this, and they have harmful coping mechanisms. I've covered some of those, like bed rotting. Yes, just stay in your bed literally all day long. Don't move, just eat in your bed, watch something on your screen all day. That's a good way to have self-care. Or dangerous diets or self-harm or other risk-taking behaviors like Borgs, blackout rage gallons, where that's a well-intentioned but potentially harmful look at harm reduction, thinking, okay, well, we're going to control that. We are going to have a milk gallon jug and we'll control the amount of alcohol that we drink, but no alcohol is safe for developing teen brains. So parents really should monitor their children's mental health and the connection to online activities. Do they feel worse when they get off of social media? Well, then why are they on it? Help your child to make those connections and promote a healthy balance of online and offline activities and teach them how to manage that online pressure. Another thing that we've seen that impacts mental health is viral harmful trends. These TikTok trends spread rapidly and some can be harmful or dangerous. They might even have physical stunts like TikTok door knock, where you knock on someone's door in the middle of the night that can cause fear or harm, or the blackout challenge. Those are really, those are serious viral trends that have resulted in harm and even death in some cases. So how can we expect our kids to not be anxious in a world like that? We really need to talk about the risk of viral trends and setting boundaries around participating in those certain challenges. Don't just jump and do every challenge that is there. Having discussions about safety are really important. Another thing that is impacting mental health negatively is the exposure to inappropriate content. It is very traumatizing for kids to come across graphic, violent sexual content that can still make its way onto young users' feeds. And we have a lot of debate ongoing, and I expect this new Congress to be taking this subject up. What are the laws that we need to balance adult privacy with child safety? But when kids are constantly seeing content that they think they don't know what to do with, they don't have the language to describe it, that can be really distressing or confusing. And so make sure the best thing you can do for mental health is to delay access to smartphones, delay access to social media, be that parent. Just say no. But rules without relationship leads to rebellion. You've heard that said often. I agree with that. Talk about why. Come up with those guidelines together. But make sure that you're giving kids the open invitation to come and talk to you when they experience exposure. I've shared this before. My daughter was in grade school when one of her classmates was watching a YouTube video that had a pornographic video embedded in it. And she described it to my daughter. Now, I had not told my daughter every nitty gritty detail about what she might see, but I told her, you live in a world where there are screens everywhere. And one day you will see something on a screen that you will have never seen before. And it might make you feel kind of bad, or make you feel kind of, you're not even sure how to describe it, but make you feel uncomfortable or scared. And when that happens, you come and talk to me about it. And she did. She came and talked to me about that, because screens are everywhere, but it made her feel anxious and she didn't know what to do with that. And so helping her process that was really important. Another way that social media can negatively impact mental health is just time management and addiction to the platforms. That social media algorithm is intended to keep users engaged, and that leads to us spending way too much time on our screen, poor sleep, academic decline, and most importantly, it reduces face-to-face interactions. And those online interactions, they can be valuable if they're added to the in-person interactions, but as a substitute, they're a counterfeit. So be that parent that encourages, that enforces healthy screen time limits. But even more than being the phone police, you need to provide a compelling alternative. Invite them to engage in activities that don't involve technology. Set those family boundaries. We'll walk you through that and help you through that with this year. Tech-free times, tech-free zones, and all of those tech boundaries, that is really important. But engage them. What are you doing to say, come and spend time with me? And so there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. Social media also creates an environment where there is peer pressure, where there's cyberbullying. It fosters a culture of viral fame and social validation through how many likes, how many comments you get. I have seen so many kids that I have talked to in a setting where they'll see a viral trend on social media. One of them will do it and get 287 likes, and one of them does that and gets 2 likes and maybe a negative comment. And they think, why does that happen? What makes her more desirable than me? What makes him more popular than me? That impacts social health. And if we're really honest, it impacts ours as adults too, because we can look at that, and comparison is the thief of joy, and there is no greater platform of comparison than social media. Cyberbullying is prevalent on social media platforms. Kids are exposed to that. So the less that we can expose them to that, the better. Teach them to handle peer pressure and be confident in making those decisions that are best for their well-being. It also causes FOMO, fear of missing out. There are actually scientific scales now to measure FOMO and research it, because social media portrays a highlight reel of others' lives and it creates a sense of missing out. And they think everybody else is having more fun. Everybody else wants to be with each other and not with me. So we have got to get a hold of this and help our kids understand social media shows an idealized version of life. It is not the whole picture. It's the highlight reel. So we need to engage our kids in real life experiences and foster that healthy sense of self-worth. There is so much to talk about, but if there's any takeaway, thinking about nutrition, thinking about sleep, thinking about physical activity, I really want you to sit down and think with your family, maybe thinking about those questions I asked earlier. What is the reality that is going on in your family? Where could you improve sleep practices? Where could you improve nutrition practices? And where could you be more active? These things are connected to promoting good mental health outcomes. And listen along as we go through this year and talk about all of these habits. We will break all of these down, go into much more specifics. It's all about progress, not perfection. Don't be discouraged if you're not there. We're just starting out in 2025, and today is a great day for new beginnings on a lot of levels. So make that beginning here. Join us in this journey. We would love to have you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And I'll see you here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.